Accession number 30655, Mr. Clive Sutton, Reel 2. Now, what happened when you got back to London? How did the family settle back down together again?
For my father, it was very difficult because everything, he started the business again, massive amount of orders, but he couldn't get materials and he couldn't get staff, and we were very short of money. That I do know. And anyway, he would spend days up in London trying to get licenses for wood and material and things that we used, because we made a folding baby bar, and our customers were Harrods, Selfridges, John Lewis, although that John Lewis was just one, I think, in those days. There was D.H. Evans and a whole group of them. And you know, he started to do very well as the war started, and just as he was really getting on top of things, the war started, so it put him right back. And of course, he was a lot older then, and we had a very, very difficult time, and this is really because we had an old house, you know, and
same one,
yeah. And I know my grandmother lived there, and they had lodgers. They let the top floor for most of the time. I went to Owens.
Now that's the Owens School.
Yeah. As I say, now there was a girls' school next to it called Dame Alice Owens. Owens is very old. It's 1613 is the foundation.
And where exactly is it?
It's still going, but it was at the Angel Islington, and they owned a lot of the land around it, and the governors were the worshipful company of brewers.
Now, what do you remember of the school? What type of an education did you get there?
Well, I started late in the year.
In 45.
And there's a lot of clever boys there, and starting late, I missed a lot of the start. Things like algebra. I don't think I ever really understood it, because nobody ever told me the principles of it. And things like mathematics, I was dreadful at. And I hadn't been dreadful before, I'd been quite, you know, good. And my brother's still got close links with Owens, and I am actually a life member, but I feel resentful somewhat, because they weren't as, you know, if you weren't clever, you were left behind a bit, I think, you know. They didn't realise, I mean, things weren't brilliant at home either. My mother and father were both working till quite late. So it was a hard time, and although I left in 59, I think.
49,
yeah. No, I didn't. I left in 1950. Because I stayed on till Christmas. And my results were kind of... I took it in the summer, and I didn't want to. And I took it at Christmas. I got 4 credits and a pass, which was not bad. But I didn't get maths or science.
So what were you good at? What did you like at school?
I was good at English. I was good at history, geography, any of those. You know, I was an arts person, really. I was good at sport.
Tell me about sport. What sports did you like or play?
Well, I played all sports. I was a good swimmer. I was, when we started to go swimming, I was the only swimmer. This is school swimming. There was only 3 in the class who could swim, and I was one of them. And I was a good footballer, cricketer. I wasn't tops by any means, you know, but I could play them all pretty well. And athletics, you know, I used to do quite well. But,
and all based around school rather than boys' clubs?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I used to play on a Saturday morning for the school, you know, right through the school years. You know.
Were you in the Army Cadets or Cadet Force,
yes,
or whatever
I
they
was,
call it?
Yeah.
Now, tell me about that.
Well, this is quite interesting because the Army Cadets was the HAC, and that's the Honourable Artillery Company. Have you come across it? The oldest regiment in the British Army. And
they were based at the school, were they?
No.
Oh, right.
No, that was a City Road, the Armoury House City Road. Very old, you know, even... We didn't get to see inside very much. The parade ground was, you know...
Now, when did you start with the Army Cadets, then? 45, I suppose.
No. I would have been 11, wouldn't I? 14, I think.
So, 48.
Yeah, about then.
And what happened? Was it voluntary? It was voluntary. What made you decide to join them?
I just like things about the army.
Why?
Well, I was a great reader. You know, I read all the... You know, I was a great person for the Empire. And, you know, I suppose in those days it was kind of a bit of publicity and propaganda, but I just believed it all. And, you know, Rider Haggard, any of those books, I knew the lot, you know. To be honest, I think I would have quite liked to have gone into the army. My dad really discouraged me.
Now, you just turned up and joined. Was there anything?
Well, we had an ATC and Army Cadet Force ACF. And in fact, one of our air cadets got the Sword of Honour.
Hang on, where was that? This at the air cadets and the
air cadets
at the school
was parallel. We had both lots. You could join one or the other, or nothing. You joined
the Army Cadets.
Yeah.
And what happened when you joined? What uniform did they give you?
We had an ordinary battle dress uniform, but with a guard's cap, and we were trained. Our drill training was with.
Was it so? Just a standard uniform, nothing special at all.
No, except I don't think there was any others had a guardsman's cap as standard, you know. And we were trained by Grenadier Drill Sergeant.
Now that would be on the drill. Was there a set night that you went?
No, we went in the afternoon, on a school afternoon. We did go in the evening sometimes if there was a special parade.
So it was from the school?
Oh, yeah. There were three companies. They were Owens, Mercer's. Do you remember the old... There was an old Mercer school, which was a very good school. I forget what they called the... and that was like the headquarter company with the local lads if they wanted to join. And we used to go to Bisley every...
Now, hang on. Tell me about the basic training. So you'd go there on an afternoon, and what training would you get there?
We would get drill, and which we were really good at. We were excellent at drill, because I know that from when I went in the army.
Now, why were you good at... Did you like drill? Did you like it right from the start?
Yeah. It's silly, isn't it? But I loved it, yeah.
What did you like about it? Do you know, even? I mean...
I just quite like the military kind of learning it, you know, because... In my mind, you know, as a soldier, you march, and it was a natural thing to do, and we did it well.
You didn't have any problems with it then? Some people, haven't we?
No, none.
And did you know the point of it at the time, or was it just...
Well, the point that was told us that in the army you've got to get a body of men from one place to another fairly quickly, and they've got to obey orders, and this is the way it's done, you know. But it's also to keep you... It's the other side, is the discipline. You do as you're told, you know.
So there's drill. What other training would you get in those afternoons?
Weapons training.
Now, what? Tell me about that.
Rifle. Cleaning rifles. Bren.
Now, just cleaning rifle, not using it then?
Oh, yeah.
So how did they actually teach you to shoot the rifle? What was the stage? Before we get to Bisley and the Bren, which is...
Yeah. Okay. Everyone who wanted to could fire 2.2 rifles in school. We had a small range under the school, and there was the rifle club, and also the ATC and the ACF both went down there.
Now, were they 0.22 rifles? Were they Lee Enfields?
No,
sort of closed up, or were they different rifles?
They were Mossbergs, I think. which I think, if I remember right, you've got an under lever and you put it in the breech and pull the lever up, a single shot. And
so they taught you the principles of marksmanship and things like that there?
Definitely, yeah. And they not at school, but when we went to the AC, to Army Cadets, they taught us laying off and certain range, wind and how fast something was moving, you know. So that was, we did quite a lot on that, actually.
Now, what other weapons? You mentioned the Bren.
Yeah, we learned to strip a Bren and clean it in the first and second IAs, you know.
IA?
Immediate action.
Clearance stoppages.
Yeah, yeah. But this is what we would call, we called it. First IA was to turn the gas chamber. See, it's a long while ago. The second IA was to, you took the barrel out, and whether you didn't change it. You took the barrel out to change the gas, come to think of it. I can't remember the second IA.
All right. And did you get to practice? Where did you actually practice on the range? Is it Bisley the ranges you went to practice on?
Yeah.
With both the rifle and the Bren then, did you?
And we actually fired pistol there as well.
Which pistol was it? Not sure.
No, I'm almost Smith and Wesson, I think. But it could have been a Webley. I'm not really quite sure. I've got a feeling it could have been both, even.
Now, how did you do, actually, on the ranges, firing these three weapons? What were your impressions of them as you fired them?
I've misled you. I never fired the Bren. A lot of my friends did, but I never actually fired a Bren at Bisley. But we fired rifles, right?
And this would be the Lee Enfield, would it?
Yeah. Short,
and what was it like? It hurt or?
Yeah, it had a kick. It had a good kick, but you know, I was quite a big, strong lad, you know, and it wasn't something that, you know, worried me, you know.
Were you a good shot?
Yeah, pretty good.
Not what do you think makes a good shot? I mean, could you, or did you not know?
Practice. Oh, I think it's practice. I mean, I've seen army. I was in the Remy, so, you know, that's going ahead. But Bisley, the HSE had what they called the hut, which was like a mini mansion. It was beautiful. I think, if I remember right, they had a thatch roof, barracks up above, and down below they had a dining room and a bar. High back, you know, big oak tables all the way down, high back, you know, because you do know the HAC. They're a swish lot of TA. They all come from the city and they all got loads of money. And Ted Heath was the Colonel Commandant, or whatever, because they don't have the same ranks as others. And a lot of people are affiliated to Armory House, you know. Like the Marines and artillery.
So what about the range? What was it like there then? You'd fire your Bren gun. What about the pistol? Not the Bren gun. You didn't fire the Bren gun.
No.
The rifle and pistol you'd fire there.
Yeah. We'd fire at different ranges, start fairly close and go. And I think the long range there must be over 1,000 yards. I mean, we wouldn't fire that much. We'd fire probably 300 or 400 max, you know. But we'd do, you know, we'd also do lectures while we were there as well for, as you say, field craft, map reading, things like this. In fact, we did one, we went out on one field craft as a demonstration, and the officer must have been 40 of us. And we're all going along, and suddenly you could see somebody's helmet. And so the officer would say, "Who's anybody see an enemy?" And they'd say, "There's one. Why did you see him?" "Because of his shape, you know." And then you see a movement. You say, somebody would say, "There's one." He said, "Why did you see him?" "Because they moved." And then and there was a little bit like this. And then suddenly, from right under our feet, there was bang, 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 blanks going off. We'd walked right into them, and we hadn't seen one of them. But the other thing was very clever, because, you know, it did show you what was needed. But I should have got in the infantry, actually, but I went in the Remy.
Was there a lot of demonstrations like that? Any other demonstrations? That's a very good description. What, any other demonstrations?
That one sticks in my mind. But there must have been others.
I should have asked, did you do bayonet training? The old
no.
Bayonet?
No.
So any other training? So you do with the cadets?
We did map reading. What we used to do, we used to go to Bisley every Easter. So we'd go down there for 4 days.
Was that like your annual camp, or would there be another annual camp as well?
Usually another annual camp, yeah.
And what would you do at the at camps, you know, the Easter and annual camps?
Well, I've told you more or less what there is. We'd do competitions, like map reading competitions.
Oh, so this is what you did when you went to Bisley, generally. It's the same stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and much the same. I can't think of anything. We went to Deal Marine Barracks. And the Royal Marines are very, very smart. And they reckon we were good, you know, because, I mean, they walk over to get at the back of the, not the airline, I suppose now, but at the back of the barracks, they will walk across the ablutions with a towel over their shoulders and their arms up to their shoulders, you know, but because that was, basic training. But, I loved it. I really did. I'm trying to think of anything specific, but it is a long time ago.
Now, you were with them, what, till you left school in 1950 then? Or did you stay?
I think I went to Headquarter Company, I think, for a little while. But I can't remember quite how long.
So what happened then? What happened when you left school? What were you going to do? Because, you know, you've got to find something to do. You knew you were going to be called up, or presumed you were going to be called up. Yeah. What were you going to do in the intervening 2 years?
I didn't have plans. I left school, actually, with a lot of confidence knocked out of me. Because, you know, I felt I should have done better. And I didn't think the teaching was as good as it should have been. I mean, that's in retrospect, but at the time I thought it was my fault. And I actually went to work for my father. My brother was always already working for him, which makes a very strong kind of team if you can get a family. And my brother was a very good engineer.
And this is making children's furniture, or baby furniture.
This is baby furniture. And it was a, in fact, it's a brilliant thing. There's a folding baby bath. You opened it up, put water in it, did the baby, poured a tabletop over. If you've got children, it's a godsend. They don't, you know, I mean, we went broke. I did. I went broke.
So how long were you doing that for?
Well, we all worked together for a few years, not long, because my brother got a deferment. He was doing sitting girls, and when he finished, he was called up, and I was due to go because he was deferred 5 years different. It wasn't long before I was due to go in. Now, I was doing ordinary national production engineering, and the rule more or less was in those days, if you failed a year, they called you up if you're military age.
You were doing what now? You missed me. You were doing what?
Ordinary National.
What's that?
Oh, that was a...
You haven't mentioned this before.
Oh, Ordinary National was a teaching qualification, or a qualification.
Tell me about that then, before you go on the big call.
There was City and Guilds, which is still going, I believe, and then there was Ordinary National.
Is this at night school or not?
Well, day release, we were doing it, both my brother and I. He did Sitting Guild, which was a lower level, more or less by mistake. He would have done better to have done Ordinary National. I did Ordinary National, and that was at City, what is now City University, but in those days was Northampton Polytechnic. And I've lost my thread.
You were doing it, why Northampton?
No, Northampton Polytechnic, that was in City Road.
Right, not in Northampton.
St John's Road. St John's Road, near the Angel. And the rule.
So what were you studying at Day Release School? I mean, I can see the qualification, but what?
Production engineering, lathe work, machine tools, things like that. Quite a lot of maths. I did maths. I loved it. I had such a terrible time at school, you wouldn't believe. When I got there, you know, it came. You could talk to a teacher, you know, which you couldn't, you know, you were ridiculed. Anyway, so the idea, if you failed a year, they called you up.
Now, did you fail or?
No, I passed the first year and I was doing the second year and they called me up.
So what year were you, when were you called up?
Right, I wasn't going in straight away. I had a football injury, which was a bad ingrown toenail. And when I went for a medical, I told them what it was. I was sitting there with nothing on, with my foot on the doctor's desk. And I said, can I have it fixed before I get called up? And which suited us anyway, because, you know, my brother and I, there was only three other people in the business, you know. If we both went, it was catastrophic, really. So anyway, they gave me a 3 months deferment, in which case I went to Barts and had it done. I was in hospital for 8 days with it, an ingrown toenail. There'll be half a day now. Anyway, and they fixed that, and they gave me a further extension while it was healing up. And then I appealed against being called up on the grounds that my brother was in, and it was a small business, and he would be out in such and such time. And which they did. And my brother came, was demobbed, and I then went in. He was in the Remy, and I did the same thing. I applied for the Remy.
And when was it you were actually called up then?
I went in on the 19th of November, 1953.
Now, so that was quite a process of being called up over, you know, time during all the appeals and everything. So you've been working for your family firm for 3 years by then, or 4 years more than that. Now, what was the process of being called up about medicals and things? There's a medical where they found the ingrowing toenail. Anything else you remember about the process of being called up?
Well, I had to fill a urine bottle and I couldn't. So they gave me a glass of water and made me stand around for ages. No, that was fairly straightforward. I was pretty fit, it was pretty thorough. You went from one doctor to another, and they checked your ears and eyes and everything else. You know.
Now, what about why the Remy? I mean, I know your brother had done it, but you like the infantry. Why not the infantry?
Well, my dad, really, in a way, he'd say, you know, try and go for one of the corps, and he's not wrong, really.
Why?
Because you learn things in the Remy. It's a good corps to be in. You know, there's so much to do, so many different trades and things. It was strange because when you go in, you get tests. Is it before you go in or when you go in? I can't remember. You do tests before you go in, that's right, and you apply for whatever. I was actually offered, I actually went to see the Royal Navy, and they said, would you like to learn Russian? Well, mine, you know, I wasn't any good at French even, so no, I didn't do that, and it's just as well I didn't, because I wouldn't have stayed there long. But I put down Remy and Remy. There's the two choices.
Remy and Remy, no.
Yeah, that was my two choices. So it was a little bit of, you know, bravado, really. And anyway, and I was accepted for the Remy. And when I went...
Now, where did you have to report to?
I had to report to Blandford. I think, if I remember, it was Number 5 Training Battalion.
Number 5 Training Battalion, Remy.
Yeah. And you had more tests when you got there.
Now, what were these tests about?
There was technical tests, and they gave me a fitters test. I don't know, are you familiar with engineering?
No, tell us what it is. I am, but tell us, please.
Yeah. I wanted to be actually a vehicle mechanic, because I thought that was a really useful thing to know. And but they gave me a fitter's paper just to try it, and they said if I passed the fitter's trade test, I would go on to be onto a vehicle mechanics course, and I'd be a dual tradesman, and I would be paid as a tradesman straight away as soon as I passed the test. Well, although I passed the written test, I must have done, because they put me on the course and I didn't want to do it. Fitting is filing to close limits so that things fit together, and shell bearings and things like that, scraping, and I just did not want to do that. But they put me in for the trade test, and the other guys in the trade test, a lot of them were Ford apprentices and really very, very good fitters. They were telling me what to do, and when it got to the end, I'd only just failed, and that was on flat filing, which is apparently particularly difficult. And then I was taken into the office, and the officer said, "Well, you didn't make it. Your flat filing isn't good enough, although the rest isn't too bad." He said, "So we're going to send you on a fitter's trade course." And that was the last thing I wanted. And I said, "I've never done fitting. I don't want to do fitting." And they were very understanding. Actually, you could talk to them. I said, "I did want to go on the vehicle mechanics course." And so they said, okay. So I went on the vehicle mechanics course, never did believe that they would give me a dual qualification. One of my good friends later on, when I was in, had done the same thing. And little did I know, he was actually did the same trade test, and he was a dual tradesman. So there we are.
Now tell me about your reception when you first got there, because you know you arrive as a civilian.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you are, so you've been in the Army Cadet Force, but you were a civilian. What was it like when you went through the gates at Blandford, sort of thing, for the first time, or even the journey there? I don't know whether you remember that, but I mean,
I do.
What do you remember about the sort of reception from the Army?
Well, I got the train from, I think it was Waterloo, or no, Paddington, I think. And I got there in the late afternoon, and we waited, and there was a lot of people, lads on the station. I can't remember quite the actual station for it. Not yet. And then they brought up. Oh, that's right. We changed and went to Blandford, and they sent vehicle transport for us, lorries, and we all got in the back. And away they went. On the way, they were both racing, these two lorries. One hit the other at the back. While they were going along, and bang, we're all kind of standing in the back, you know, scared out of our life. Anyway, when we got there, it was now dark. It was November, and they took us into a room, into an area, and they gave us a cup of tea and a stale bun, and they were pretty good. And then they said. They gave us a medical, you know, a scrotum coffin thing, you know, and then an injection. I don't know what it was for. And then immediately there was three barbers there, and there was two lorry loads. They immediately gave us a haircut.
Now, how was your hair when you got there, and how was it after the cut? You know, I mean, what was the cut like?
When I went, it was neat and tidy. You know.
How short? Because you know.
Shortish. I never wore it long, but it was natural, you would say. A bit like yours now, but a bit more on top. and he started to cut my hair. I was one of the first three, and he started to cut it quite nicely. And he said to me, "Where do you come from, son?" I said, "I come from London." I said, "Oh, London, eh?" Zip, straight up to the top, leaving a little patch on top, and but everyone got that, I think. So
did you mind?
Didn't like it very much, but I'd grown up during the war. I'd been around soldiers and war and things. I knew what, you know. It was no problem for me to go there, you know.